On the telephone line, Mari Spaola, who is a member of the 7th Generation Indigenous Visionaries. During the summer of 2009, a group of 18 Native and Ihana youth from the United States / Turtle Island traveled to the occupied West Bank and Israel to connect with Palestinian youth and to collectively imagine a future more just for all indigenous peoples. The Indigenous Youth Delegation to Palestine, the first of its kind, is a project of grassroots organizations in both the U.S. and Palestine who have come together with the purpose of connecting Native and Ihana youth in the U.S. with youth in Palestine. By creating a forum to reflect together and to share common struggles, this cross-continental exchange was an opportunity for youth to learn firsthand from each other by sharing tools and strategies of resistance against displacement and colonization. Mari Spaola was a member to the delegation and is part of the 7th Generation Indigenous Visionaries, a grassroots collective at Haskell Indian Nations University in Kansas, where he currently studies. Mari, how are you doing this morning, sir?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me on.
Excellent. Why don't you start by telling the listeners a little bit about who and what the 7th Generation Indigenous Visionaries are, and then we'll talk about the trip to Palestine.
Okay. Well, the 7th Generation Indigenous Visionaries, or 7th Gift, started a little over a year ago. Three of us had taken a class called Theories of Decolonization, and the situation in Palestine came up in our classroom. So we just started asking more questions. The instructor actually encouraged us to seek out information, do our own research. So we actually connected with other delegates from New York and the California Bay Area. They actually were interested in forming a group here in Haskell. So Melissa, the other person within the group, actually did an internship that brought some of the people out to Kansas. We started inquiring about their delegation to Palestine, and they invited us to actually form a group and join them in Palestine. So we've been a group for a little over a year now. It's been a long road, a lot of hard work. We did a lot of fundraising in 3 months to actually get our trip going. So, yes, we're a fairly new group. Here at Haskell, we're not associated with the university, but we're a student group.
Now, the 7th Generation Indigenous Visionaries, this grassroots collective was formed before the idea of even visiting Palestine was presented. Is this correct?
Well, actually, it was formed out of our trip to go to Palestine. What they were actually calling our group before we went to Palestine were the natives from Kansas, or the students from Haskell, and our group actually had to have a meeting to form the group 7th Give in order to go to the delegation. So it was actually formed out of the trip to go to Palestine.
Okay. Maybe you can tell our listeners, and I think this is something very, very important, what the significance of 7 generations is for the Indigenous Visionaries.
Okay. Well, 7th generation is actually a very important number. Many tribes in the United States, and I believe in Canada as well, do believe that the decisions that you make in your life at this time are for the betterment of the 7 generations ahead. So when forming our group, we felt it was very important to include this in the name so that people would understand that what we are doing is not only for us, but for the 7 generations ahead of us. And so the decisions we make now are very important for our future generations.
Right. The significance of that is that a lot of decisions taken today, especially by governments who in the United States have 4-year mandates, best case scenario 2 terms, 8-year mandates, are by comparison short-term decisions. The idea here seems to be that every decision should be made with the idea that it has to be a decision that's going to have a positive effect for the next 7 generations.
That's correct.
And is this something that you and the other members of the collective use to guide your lives on a day-to-day basis?
That is correct, actually, yes. Here at school, I don't just go to school for myself or my family, but for my community back home on the reservation in Pine Ridge. So the decisions we make here at school are actually for our communities and future generations.
Now, when you visited the communities in Palestine and you connected with some of the indigenous youth in Palestine, did you get the same sense that the youth in Palestine were living with this long-term vision in mind as well?
Oh, definitely. That was actually one of our questions, that what do they see in their future? And they do see a very bright future. They do have hope that they will have some kind of action taken in their lifetime. So there was that sense of community that we are used to on the reservation. We depend on each other. So we did see similarities within the two groups.
This is absolutely beautiful, what I'm hearing from you this morning, Mirai. Maybe we can just top off this discussion by telling us some of the activities that that you engaged in with the Palestinian youth and some of the lasting connections that you've that you've held on to with the Palestinians who you visited in the illegally occupied territories.
Okay. Well, we're fortunate enough to spend pretty much every single day with youth from either the Shufat refugee camp, the Balata refugee camp, or the Tehesha refugee camp. So they were pretty much our guides throughout our journey in Palestine. So that was great to actually spend time with them while we toured Palestine. One story that we actually share a lot is our time with them in the olive groves. We got to spend time picking figs and writing down memories of our trip up to that point with the Palestinian youth. Mm-hmm. And then those are actually published in a magazine from one of our other delegations. And so just spending that simple time with them, not necessarily having deep conversations, but just spending some quality time with them where they don't have to worry about checkpoints, was very special to us because they get to let loose, be kids, you know, be youth. So it was one of our special moments is to see them actually unwind and be carefree.
I can imagine it was a very special time for them as well. Very, very positive outcomes is what it sounds like. Have you maintained connections with the youth that you visited since returning from Palestine?
Yes, we actually speak to them on a daily basis. we love technology because every youth has joined Facebook. And
wow.
We tend to get on Facebook and have chats with them on a daily basis, just saying hi. And they tend to keep us up on the most current information on what is going on in their camps. So we actually hear about it firsthand, and we don't actually have to look through any kind of news articles or online to search for the situation in their camps because they tell us what's going on. So we actually speak to them on a daily basis.
Now, you and some of the other members of the delegation from Kansas who visited Palestine, Melissa Franklin, Jody Voice, and yourself, Mirai Spaola, were part of a panel discussion which took place at the University of Quebec at Montreal on Sunday, the past Sunday, and it was part of the Israeli Apartheid Week from March 4th to March 11th. Maybe you can just tell us a little bit about that experience.
Sure. Montreal was actually our last stop on our, we've been calling it a tour. We went to Toronto first and then to New York City and back to Canada to Montreal. It was a very good experience for our group since they were fairly new in, I guess, activism, but also speaking about our situation in Palestine. We had spoken about it a couple of times here in Kansas to a few small universities, but this was on a larger scale. We got to see a lot of people that are very active in this issue. And so it was inspiring to us to see so many organizers up in Montreal very tirelessly, you know, organizing, getting everything ready. So we actually would like to see something like that happen here in Kansas or the Kansas City area, because there are so many people that are passionate about what the situation is in Palestine and actually the Middle East. So it was inspiring to actually see so many people come together for a cause.
That's the way it should be, and that's a very, very good reflection. I would like for you to tell our listeners where they could get some more information about the Seventh Generation Indigenous Visionaries, and also maybe a little bit more information about Haskell Indian Nations University in Kansas. I know right now in Canada there is some serious discussion going on right now about the Canadian federal government's funding of Indigenous universities within Canada. I can specifically think about the University of Regina, but maybe you can tell our listeners where they can get more information about the Seventh Generation Indigenous Visionaries and Haskell Indian Nations University.
Sure. Well, with Seventh Generation Indigenous Visionaries, we developed, I guess it's a blog. It's at the Indigenous Delegation, Youth Delegation at WordPress. So we developed that specifically for our trip to Palestine, and so we like to actually keep our information as current as possible, add any links, important groups that we might run into. So that is the location you can find out about more on Seventh Give. Now, with our university, we actually have a website at haskell.edu. We just celebrated our 125th anniversary. With Haskell, we have an interesting history. We started off as a boarding school, or in Canada, they're called residential schools. Mm. So we started off with a very bleak history. It was developed to actually assimilate us into mainstream society, take away traditions and culture from our youth. And, you know, they attacked that specific generation. Now, we developed into a high school, eventually into a junior college, and now since 1994, we've been a university. So our history is starts off late, but we actually are flourishing, you know, from what our ancestors provided us, the information they provided us to heal and to survive. So we take that, and now our university has indigenized the curriculum. So we're not forced to learn what the U.S. government would like us to learn. We can actually incorporate our own thoughts and beliefs into the curriculum. And we ask tribes, what do they need? What do they need from the university? And they tell us, and we try to develop curriculum that actually will help those communities.
Mm. Absolutely beautiful, and definitely there are lessons to be learned by all centers of education across the world at all levels, not just the university level. I mean, even non-Indigenous universities, I've been noticing, have become more and more commercialized, more and more streamlined, with more emphasis on making a profit than actually educating the students. And what I'm hearing from the Seventh Give, the Seventh Generation of Indigenous Visionaries, and the situation at Haskell Indian Nations University is something that should be what the return of education to should be.
Yes, we've been very fortunate.
Marais Baola, a member of the Haskell Indian Nations University in Kansas and part of the Grassroots Collective, we thank you very much for joining us this morning, and we thank you also very much for your participation in the Montreal segment of the Israel Apartheid Week from March 4th to March 11th here in the city of Montreal.
Well, Pilamayalo, thank you very much for having us up there. We had a great time. We definitely do want to make a trip back up there and see all our new friends, you know, up there. So thank you once again for having us.
Okay, we'll see you soon.